So, this is Vibe Drive episode 144, and this one is a special one to me. Two of my favorite people in the tech space are here. I've done podcasts with them individually, but I have never done a podcast with them together. But that changes in a few moments because they're here. They're live. We on Vibe Drive. We'll start now. What's up, people? This your boy, Viper, the man about tech. Hey, welcome back to another episode of Bike Drive. This is the podcast about tech, hosted by the man about tech. And today, I have two people here joining me on the podcast. Yes, this is a triple threat Bike Drive. Now, they have both been on the podcast individually, but they have never been on the podcast together at the same time. I wanted to make it happen. It is happening now. So let me bring out one of the best Apple tech content creators and Apple journalists alive. And let me bring out one of the most badass psychotherapists in the building. We got Renee Ritchie and Georgia Dow. Hello, how y'all doing today?
What a rush. Yeah.
He's pretty good at that. He's pretty good at that. Wow.
It's good to see you, man. It's good to see you.
This is awesome.
I have to confess, though, Viper and I have been like chilling 24/7 on the clubhouse. So, like, it's been like 20 minutes since I've seen him.
Literally. I know. That was your addiction from last week.
Yeah.
That I have been, you know, out of.
Yes.
We got to change that. So usually, so I've had both of you on the podcast, so I can't really ask my first question normally, my normal first question, I should say. But I am curious, you guys, like I said, you two go way back. I remember watching you guys when it was the iPhone blog, well before it was iMore. So I kind of know Renee's story, but I don't know if I got your story fully, Georgia. Maybe I did, but let's just reiterate it again. How did you look at Renee on the iPhone blog? Tell us about that.
Can I just mention what? So the interesting thing is we met over video. Ooh. Because we joined the same karate school when we were in high school, and they asked me to film some videos. Oh. And Georgia was there, and I asked her to help shoot. And she's like, "You're trusting me with a camera? Really?"
I was so impressed that he let me hold this really expensive camera because I'm clumsy and I break things. And that was it. Then we became friends. That's true, though.
She didn't break the camera. I mean, that was good.
I didn't break the camera. It's true this time.
Wait a minute. So you two go all the way back to high school?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
That is
amazing.
And then Renee worked for the iPhone blog. It was called Tippy. But when it was the iPhone blog and it switched, like, Renee was at the forefront of wanting to have diverse voices in the field. And he's like, I think that we need more women. And so he's like, you like tech? Do you want to write for this? And I was like, I like tech. Yeah, why don't I write for this? And then we did some podcasts where I was just a glowing set of eyebrows. And Renee was always kind and supportive.
We were doing, like, we did a bunch of Brazilian jiu-jitsu videos together. So I knew Georgia was good on video. And then we wanted to do this series. And I forget, we called it like Tippy TV at first. And we did like iPhone helicopter good. Fights
those
and
those were some of
waterproof.
My favorite moments.
Yeah, but and then Dieter left and went to The Verge, and we needed more people on video because it was me and Dieter doing the videos before, and I figured it was a good opportunity to have someone who just wasn't another me or Dieter.
Yeah.
Now, Georgia, I remember you, I think when I had you on the podcast originally, I think you were talking about how you weren't really big into writing, but you were more like on the video side. You prefer doing video content more, right?
Oh yeah, like I'm partially dyslexic. So writing is a painful experience for me. It does not come natural. Like Renee writes as fast almost as he thinks. And for me, like writing one sentence was painful, but I love chatting and I love doing video. And so, yeah, that just worked out better for me.
That is awesome. It's just, like I said, it's been amazing that you guys have been together in some capacity in the tech space for 10 years plus. And it's just like, it's amazing. Like I said, I wanted to get you guys together because you two have like an incredible chemistry together that just, it's amazing just to see it play out in real time. So again, I appreciate you guys joining me. It's amazing.
It was really fun. I was actually really excited to be able to do.
Yeah. It's like one of those Japanese shows where there's like a robot and like a human. And the joy is in watching their interactions.
Oh my God.
I bring the humanity out of you, and yes. you can add a little bit of robotic.
And
to
we
me.
Solve crimes together.
And right, and we're yeah. always lost.
Yes.
No matter what, we get more lost as we go through. And so you either enjoy the journey or you hate it and shut it off. It's one or the other, you know, love or hate. It's okay.
Okay, so here's something interesting to me. Georgia, you used to work with Renee, or not used to, you work with Renee. You were working in tech, but you are actually a psychotherapist.
Yes, so, I know.
So how did you get into that field? Because obviously you have some love of tech, but you don't really work in tech per se.
No, I did at one point. Well, I did. Yeah, I did. A long time ago, I did. But I actually was licensed as a teacher. I went to school to become a teacher, and I didn't really care about the teaching thing. Like, I didn't care about someone learning how to do something. I really wanted them to feel better. And so I was like, how do I do that? I'm like, I'm going to go back to school and do this right. And so I went back to school to become a therapist while I was still working at iMore. And I loved it. Like, I really enjoyed doing that. And so, I decided to become a therapist. It's still weird to me though. Like, it is like this weird thing where I still feel like a kid, and I don't know.
How can you have a grown-up job?
Yeah. I'm like, like when it's like when I would tell people that I do that, and they would be like they don't believe me, because I'm probably not the typical seeming therapist, but that's okay.
Okay.
We can all be different.
We're in a minute, we're going to get into how mental health and technology kind of intertwined, especially lately and things like that. But Georgia, real quick, can you discuss the difference between a psychologist and a psychotherapist?
For sure. So it might be different designations depending on where you are. Mm-hmm. But here, the difference is that one, a psychologist is able to give you a clinical diagnosis, and they can go through different tests to be able to find out what you might be diagnosed with. So as a psychotherapist, I'm really only focused on treating whatever, you know, you're dealing with. I'll be honest, I don't particularly care about what label you have. You just come to me with a different set of, these are the things that are bothering me, and I'm going to help you. We work together to be able to make your life better. And it's a lot of fun. You know, what else could we be spending our time on? I think a lot of people during the pandemic are, you know, working on themselves, because what else is there to do? You're spending a lot of time with yourself now, so you might as well make it better.
Definitely. So when I had Georgia on my podcast last summer, we were talking about the impact of technology and mental health and how people are trying to stray away or take time off of tech, which is kind of apropos to what happened like a couple of nights ago, because me and Renee were up until 2:30 a.m. on Clubhouse.
You up until 2:30? You've outed him now. You've outed him. Now I know. See,
mm-hmm. If I wasn't a gentleman, I'd say that I was texting you at the same time, but I'm not going to say that.
It's probably true. I've been up till 3 most nights. Yeah.
So 2 nights ago, me and Renee were up until 2:30 a.m. on Clubhouse. And I made a decision at that point. I'm like, Renee, we're getting off the app. I'm like, I'm kicking up both off the app. And it's funny, Georgia, because I did it because I saw him talking to you. I saw the podcast you guys did. And he was talking about how he wants to get away from using Clubhouse. I'm like, so I know Renee wants to use the app less, and I need to go to sleep. So I'm kicking up both off the app. So at that point, I was like, we're done. And we just left.
Now, did you have that power? Can you do that? Because I'm not one of the cool kids.
No, he just told me. I listened to Viper.
That's smart.
It's like we were in a club. And he's like playing the bodyguard role. And he's like, we're getting out of here. And he just shoved me out the door.
It's time to go. And you just have to say, okay, you're my ride. We're going.
Yeah, and I think it's funny because a lot of people that are using Clubhouse are finding themselves, me included, on there for an extended period of time. I mean, hours. I mean, when I host the room, it can go anywhere from 5 to 6 hours these days. So it's just crazy. Renee, maybe you could talk to this a little bit about the crazy amount of time that we spend on Clubhouse, and why is it that we spend so much time on the platform? Because it's addicting. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a variation on FOMO, where I feel like it's the very early days of Twitter, and there are a lot of really smart, really experienced people on there who are right now very willing to share all the experience and all the knowledge and all the information they have. And I think, like, as Clubhouse grows, it'll become more like Twitter is today, where it's just so much noise. It's very hard to find signal. And a lot of the people who are talking now will find their own smaller, more intimate groups again. So I just want to make sure when someone in the industry who really knows it, who really knows what they're talking about, is sharing their knowledge, that I'm there for it. I don't miss it. And you can't record it. You can't come back later. You can't do anything. Right. You have to be there. So it really is fear of missing out on that.
And so, and you said that you actually sent me a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did I miss that?
I don't know. I can press the button and have
did
it
you
reset.
Really, did you really do it? Or yes. Are you just saying that so that I don't feel bad?
Oh, no. We need George on Clubhouse. I need you to take out your phone, George, accept the invitation and get on in here. We need George on Clubhouse.
See, hold on. Pending invitations.
Hold on.
Pending.
Oh, it's there. Oh, that is me.
I have receipts. Sending reminder.
Where is it, Chris? Is that on like... Ooh. Oh, that's what it is. Okay, so I did.
You
see
thought
that.
It was spam.
I thought it was spam. It's just a big long text message thing without a little picture or anything. So I did see it, and I thought it was just random spam. It doesn't look like anything important. They might need to work on that.
Their UX.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh yeah, I saw that, and I saw the pictures, and I'm like, oh this is just an ad, and my brain just went.
Because I routinely send those.
You know what? I saw it, but I get so many texts through the day that I didn't really.
You should have done this with Marquez yesterday. Like, you would have had him on already.
So, yeah, George, yeah,
there we go. Okay. What do I have to do? I just click it?
Yeah.
Click on a link, and it'll ask you for your username and everything and things like that. And then you're in.
Okay. I'm downloading it now. So,
well, I just have to preface it by saying that Georgia is a very light social network user. I'm so, we might see her there for 5 minutes every 2 weeks.
That's probably about it.
I have been trying to get Georgia on Twitter more. She's been being a little better. Good
stuff.
A little better.
I kind of have to, right? Like now I'm like doing things that are there.
She's got a whole new YouTube channel to promote.
So I, I have to interact to it, but I do find, and I don't know if I'll feel this with Clubhouse. You can let me know, Viper, what it is, because I do so I feel the need to always, like, I like to respond to people. I wouldn't want to leave someone, like, I feel bad if I've missed like someone's messaged me, spent the time and the care to message me, and I'm not there to be able to say, hey, or thank you, or something like that. Is Clubhouse similar, or is it more like it's a party that you can come and go as you want, and no one's going to really be bothered if you suddenly just escape?
That latter. It's a party that you can come and go, and if you have to leave, nobody can be mad that you left. Actually, I advocate for people to leave quietly, although they don't always leave quietly, which gets on my damn nerves. But yes, it actually encouraged the proper etiquette is to leave quietly, because there's a lot of active conversation going on, and some of these people will actually interrupt active conversation to announce their departure, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah,
the button says leave quietly, so they go out of their way to announce that they're going to press the leave quietly button.
Every time.
You see, I like the leave quietly. That is my parents used to force me, and I don't know if like to say goodbye to every single member of the family, and I had to go up and give each one a kiss, which like now we know don't do that to your family members. And so I like the just escape. Like, I don't like that. Goodbyes are not.
I want to press the button, have an airlock open behind me and have space suck me out until like I'm gone from the ship.
So shout out to those of y'all who are listening on audio only this week. Thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Job with me, Renee Ritchie, and Georgia Dow. Appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week to a new episode of the podcast. If you want to go check out either of their content on YouTube, both of their channel link will be in the show notes. So definitely go down there. Check them out. Give them a look. If you want to support the podcast, there should be a Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes as well. Not required, but anything that you're willing to contribute, greatly, greatly appreciate it. If you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving a rating or review as to help more people discover the show, help us get back into the top 200 of tech podcasts on Apple Podcasts. So if you are listening on an Apple device, which most of you are, please consider leaving that rating or review. And thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Drive. So, we got to talk about Georgia and something that's probably long overdue, and it finally happened. So, Georgia Dow just recently launched her new YouTube channel focusing on psychology and psychotherapy and things like that. So, Georgia, number one, I guess my first question is, why did it take so long? And I mean,
right?
First off, why did it take so long? And number two, what do you think about being on YouTube? Like, I think you have two or three videos uploaded. What has been your experience on the platform so far?
It was scary. It was really scary. It was just one of these things that, like I do so many, like people think like just because I do so many podcasts that like it's just going to be effortless. But when you're doing, like, I felt like this was just me. Like usually I'm doing it with Renee or I'm doing it with someone else. It wasn't just me. And I think that that fear of failure probably stopped me from doing it sooner. And I was just working so much. Like there was so many hours towards doing that. I think that the time was right. I think that Renee was like, if you're going to do it, now is the time, Georgia. Like, mm-hmm. Are you ready yet? And I enjoy it. I think that that's really fun. So yeah. Thank you for everyone that supported it. I think I'm very fortunate in that, you know, I have you, I have Renee, I have other people that have really been so supportive. Like people came on before there were any videos to support the channel and there was nothing there. And subscribe, like there was nothing. There were no videos and people subscribed.
It was so peaceful. It was like Zen. It was like meditation.
Now they're going to unsubscribe. But it was really a wonderful experience. And I think that I'm very fortunate that I get that other people don't, because I'm already kind of in the verse of it. But it's wonderful and exciting. And it's just really cool and fun. I'm having a lot of fun doing it. And I'm really excited about it, like a squirrel that's had too many espressos.
All right, so for the people...
Oh, it's like Over the Hedge, that movie at the very end where the squirrel drinks the Jolt Cola and it becomes so hyper, time stops.
Yeah.
So for the people watching listening on audio only, can you like let us know like maybe in like 60 seconds or less what your YouTube channel is about?
So it is... Okay, so this is what it's about. A fun way of looking at psychology of different things, learning about it. And I'm going to be putting in, so it's just part of it is learning. Part of it is like how to live a better life. And then I'm going to want to put in some like React videos and things to like your favorite therapy scene. And so what does a therapist think of this therapy scene in a movie, and how realistic or not realistic, or how would I handle it if I was in a similar situation, which I love those videos. So I'm thinking of actually putting one up, like filming it this weekend, which will be kind of exciting. So that's pretty much what it is.
The internet's therapist.
I'm going to try to be.
That is awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Every time I get the notification, I am there. Like, I got to watch. Aw,
thank you. Thank you.
You are very welcome. I mean, like I said, you're one of my favorite people. And it's interesting because it's hard to explain it, but there are very few people that can like make a video about anything that you have to watch. But you have to watch them because they just have a certain presence about themselves on video. So you were definitely in that class for sure. I'm like, I don't care what she's talking about. I need to figure out what's going on. I'm there. Give me a chair. I'm ready. So
thank you. I appreciate it. It's really, especially when a channel is starting out, like every single person matters. And it's I don't know. It's a very cool experience. I'm very fortunate to do it. So thank you so much for mentioning it.
This is where me and Renee have to step in, because every single person doesn't matter, because you're going to get these idiot haters on your channel, Georgia. And they have no safe space. They are not allowed. It is. You're nice, brother. You won't deal with them, but me and Renee will deal with them. Okay, so don't let them come on your
channel. Viper is like the original Terminator movie, where he's like, he absolutely, positively will not stop until every troll is gone.
No. Viper's like a viper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The name is fitting.
Yeah.
He has the energy. He has the passion. He's going to get it done.
The accuracy.
Don't cross him. You only cross him once, and that was a mistake.
don't let the troll come on your channel. They have no faith. They're not welcome. They're not welcome. So I want to go back to the whole me and Renee like being on Clubhouse way too much. And like I talked to you last summer, Georgia. We were talking about people being a little too attached to their devices and how it takes a mental toll on some people. So can you like talk to that a little bit, like about how technology and people as a whole have we become like probably a little bit too dependent and intertwined with our technology?
Yeah, well, I'll ask the first question is, how close is your phone to you right now? Right?
Oh, right there.
Like mine is like 1 foot, like one foot. Renee's like half a foot, right? Like, probably. And I'll go back home for almost nothing. Like if I'm going to work, I will go back home maybe for my wallet. But if my phone is not there, I am going back for my phone.
You're going to make your husband bring it to you. What are you talking about?
Or no, I'll go back home for my phone. if I've forgotten my wallet, I might have him bring it. Like, that is how attached we are. This is our way of interfacing with the world, which is great.
I think it's like, it feels to me like it's gotten to the point of external cybernetics. Like when you watched all those movies, but everyone right. had like all that external memory and eyesight and possibility, this is the closest thing we've ever had to cybernetics. It's just still on the outside.
Right. It is not yet inside of us, yeah. but it's better than us at all of the things that it does. Like, it's actually more accurate. It's faster. It is that, you know, it is like having a little Jarvis in your pocket, right? Yeah. Well, Siri's like, let's just say it. Like, like if Siri was the, like, you know, you're like, please open the doors. I can't breathe. I need the doors. It'd be like, I will open the windows for you. Like, no, Siri, I can't
breathe.
Search
the web for open doors.
You know, she's Hal, but not because she's evil, just because she's not that bright. So yeah,
drag Siri all over Viper's show.
Yeah. Well, let's just say it.
That's like, what we do.
I'm not the first person. I will not be the last.
No, it's funny because the last time George was here, we had that interesting conversation about Siri in her bedroom.
Yes, true. She just hates me. She hates me. Siri is a hateful creature when it is to me, but she would definitely.
I think it's worse. I think that hate requires an emotional connection that we don't get from Siri. It feels neither here nor there about us.
No, it feels just purposeful to me. I feel it.
I think you're anthropomorphizing Siri.
I still, that's what I feel.
Okay.
I might be. That's about Siri. It's not a happy relationship.
You either retire the human or you live long enough to turn into the Siri.
Right. Oh, don't. Never. Never. Oh. So that because of that, because especially now when we're all shut off, for some people, this is their only means to be able to interact.
People were talking about their screen time in 2020. Like, they're comparing the screen time warnings to 2019, where it's like 3 hours a day, 3.5 hours a day, 2.5 hours a day. Suddenly it's like eight and a half hours a day, 12 hours a day.
Yeah. We need that personal connection, though. We actually need it. But because we have that need to connect, something like Clubhouse, where it feels like you're with all of these different people, perhaps really important people, things that are going to be happening.
Well, you used to do like four conferences. You'd speak at four conferences a year. And now it's like there's no conferences, but you can jump on. Like, I think Viper sometimes hosts a Clubhouse while he's hosting a Clubhouse. While he's streaming.
He's doing the inception of Clubhouse. Waiting for the kick, gets further enough
and the
in.
The thing that impressed me is like Viper is so good at the podcasting and hosting and live streaming stuff.
You are really good.
But you'll see like anytime anyone has to leave a room, they're like, where's Viper? Add him, make him moderator. I'm impressed that the room is going to be taken care of again.
I've left it in good hands and now I'm going to leave not quietly.
Yeah.
Let everyone know.
So Georgia, you were just alluding to the fact that, especially since the current situation that we're in, we're not being able to see people like in person. We are relying more and more on our smartphones and technology to establish those human interactions that we would normally get face to face. So do you, in your expert opinion, believe that could lead to over-dependence on technology, considering that's one of the only means that we have to like interact with people? Or
I do. I think that it's interesting because it's almost like, you know, that parent that makes someone smoke like whatever 50 cigarettes in an hour to get them sick of cigarettes. I have more people now that are so sick of Zoom and being on camera because they're forced to, that I have a lot of people that are saying on their own, which did not happen, they're saying I need to spend time off of technology. They're feeling that tediousness of, you know, that other side of being forced onto tech, some place that they might have wanted, loved, and enjoyed going. But I still have a whole bunch of people that we're going to have to deal with that withdrawal. And I think that we're going to increase our amount of social anxiety. So when you're behind a screen, we're not reading each other's facial features. If we're doing a Zoom call, you are, but you're also then always on camera. Like, you're always having to, like, did I touch my nose? Did I, you know, pick out my teeth without knowing it? When was the camera on? You're having to be careful with what you say and
what
you do.
Was it like the first time you had to Zoom for work or WebEx for work? You're like in your three-piece suit and you're sitting there and everything is perfect. And like by now, by like 2021, the kids are running around. You got toilet paper in your hair. Like there's like a makeup line halfway down your face. your robe is all, like, you have zero Zooms left to give. That's just, you are fresh out of Zooms.
I think for some people it is, but I think for other people, it's going to just increase social anxiety because when we go back into the world, like, we're expecting that eventually the world is going to go back to something.
Why are you trying to press me on mute? I'm in the room with you. You're trying to press the mute button on me.
I don't understand this, you know? And that weird, like, I don't want to touch you, but I'm used to, like, what do we do kind of dance? Please stay away from me. Like you spoke about how we have that anxiety when we watch like a Clubhouse.
Yeah, or watch old movies. Like you watch an old movie scene or like you watch news footage from 2019. You're like, why are they so close together? Why are they hugging? What is happening?
Oh, yeah. I was watching a movie scene and people are, they're singing, but like you see like.
Viral load. And I'm like, oh, everywhere.
How many people have gotten sick from that?
But here's the thing, like I usually get sick once or twice a year. I didn't get sick all of last year. No,
this hand washing and masking really worked.
Like, and
strangely, it was actually must be quite effective because the hand washing, we definitely didn't. We were probably like the pendulum swings both ways, but we were probably, I was touching everything. I was like, touch, all the meat and the touch. Like, I'm like, now I'd be like, oh my God, what a horrible person I am. So I think that we're going to go through, I think that we are way too addicted to our technology, but it is the only thing that we have. So even when I'm dealing with that, it's really hard because I don't want people, you go through withdrawal. If you've ever been without data or without your tech, the feeling is this massive amount of sadness and withdrawal that I'm not checking into my world anymore. And what is that FOMO? What is happening without me there? Is there something
amazing?
You just gave
me a nightmare. Viper, can you imagine if we lost access to Creator Studio for like a day or 2 days?
Oh, man. Whew.
Now, if I can ask, what do you think is your time right now on tech or even on Clubhouse? What would you say?
It's Viper's show. I'll let him go first.
Throw Viper under the bus first. I love that. Out of a kindness.
Respect. So here's the thing. So there's like a running joke on Clubhouse about how often I'm on the app. And that, some of that is true. But I'm also like not on there when I don't need to be on there. Like I'm putting out 3 YouTube videos a week. I leave podcasts once a week. I got live streams and things like that. So I stay busy. So I don't have time to be on Clubhouse 24/7. Even though I'm on there a lot, when I have to get work done as far as shooting, editing, and making my videos, I make sure I get my work done. So I can pull myself away when need be, even though I am on the app a lot. When it's time for Viper to work, the app has to go over there and Viper has to work. So I can let go. I can pull the reins back when I need to because I'm about my work and my YouTube over anything else. So
I mean, Liz yelling, no, you must have Studio and Clubhouse. You see, we only know how much the rest, because Liz is on Clubhouse a lot too. And we only know because we see each other on Clubhouse. If we weren't there, we wouldn't know how much we were on Clubhouse.
That's true. You can only out each other.
Yeah.
But what happens on Clubhouse stays on Clubhouse.
Yes. But Renee, I'm pretty sure it's the same way with you. When it's time for you to shoot, edit, film your videos, you're not on Clubhouse. You're doing what you got to do, right?
Yeah. So I when I'm shooting the videos, sometimes when I'm writing, it depends on how much research I have to do. And when I'm editing A-roll, I need quiet. Like, because that's when I cut the dialogue. I want to make sure it's accurate. And there's various things I do to try to make the transitions less abrupt, you know, when I have to do jump cuts and things like that. And I need to concentrate for that. But when I'm like editing B-roll or if I'm just going through analytics or I'm going back and changing things, then like, because I'm used to traveling all the time and I'm used to having people around and I left Mobile Nations at the same time that the pandemic started.
And then you would work at like Starbucks or somewhere else where there was other things.
But also
happening.
I had people constantly pinging me because I became the editorial director and I realized early on that as soon as someone's in charge, all the problems you used to fix on your own are suddenly problems you're going to bump up to them. So like my frequency of like, I know you can handle this. You know you can handle this because I'm here now. You're making it my problem. But it was a constant barrage of stuff. And then it went real quiet, like real disturbingly.
Like too quiet is what you're saying.
Like zombie horror apocalypse quiet. And so originally it was Viper Streams because like Viper started streaming like constantly. He did like a whole month of streaming, but he also did, we're at podcast episode 3,000,004. And I think we were at podcast episode 10 before the pandemic. And so that occupied it. And now I can put on Clubhouse, you know, I can hear Viper and everybody talking about YouTube. So even if I'm not actively participating while I'm editing B-roll or while I'm doing mixes and stuff, I can just listen to that. And it becomes like the events, the community, the hallways, the networks. It's like going to a Vid Summit or going to VidCon or something, but it's right there while I'm doing my work.
And when it can become a problem is like when it's taking up, when you should be doing something else, but you're not, right? You didn't eat. I didn't go to the washroom. I'm feeling this innate sense of dread or sadness when I am not with that. And it starts affecting your day-to-day. Those are all, or when you say to yourself, not that I should, but I have to, that's like a huge red flag of, uh-oh, I might be too attached to, and it can be anything, then you should be able to check that and see. I always then say, let's do a test, you know, whatever you're using it, whatever, 4 hours a day. Let's see if you can use it 2 or 3. And if you can't, well, this may be something that we need to look at.
So Zach mentions that you have to be careful of the rooms you get into in Clubhouse. And that's true, because just like every part of the internet, there are horrible people and horrible things there. So what I did is I deselected any interests. I have zero interests in Clubhouse, but I follow people who I find interesting. And then for certain people like Viper, I have alert me whenever he starts a room or whenever he's in a room. And then I know that if there's a room that Viper's in, it's going to be a good room. If there's a room that Liz is in, it'll be a good room. Or like there's certain people you get used to. Or like if Mr. Beast shows up, it's going to be a fun room, you know, so I have those all set up. And that way I'm only ever going into rooms that suit my interest, because it's only ever attached to a person, not a subject.
I think that that's a really good point, though, is that, you know, the people and like when you're working at like when you're moderating a room, like you're when you're the leader of that room, really, you're setting the rules that happen inside of that room. Yeah. And so if you trust the person that's running a room, then you know that the room will be handled in a certain manner.
Viper is so law and order. He's got like 12 people with questions. The person's like, can I ask 3 more questions? No, there's like a queue of people here. They've been waiting for like an hour. You're asking your question. You're getting back. Like it's so, I wish everybody ran their room. Or like Mr. Beast is so funny because he looks at retention for his Clubhouse room the way he looks at it for his video. He's like, this question is boring. People are leaving. We're going to skip this question and get to one that's more interesting to people.
Yep.
You're cut. I'm sorry. You're cut down. Didn't like that one.
Yeah, he'll do that. He is. It's funny how Mr. Beast thinks, but like he thinks about Clubhouse like he thinks about YouTube. If he feels retention is flipping, he's changing it up. Crazy.
If you're going to play the game, you might as well play to win.
All the time. All the time. So let's talk about technology a little bit. So, Georgia, did you pick up any of the new iPhones last year? Weird thing. It feels weird thing last year.
Last year. Yeah. Was that last year? Yeah. Yes, I do. I do. I have the 12 and I.
Which one? Hold it up.
Oh, here we go.
She's in the Max Club, Viper.
I am. Ooh, but nice. I always like the larger phone. So that's kind of my thing, the larger phone. I like the square design. I don't drop it as off. I have small hands. I'm clumsy. I've broken many phones. I don't know. Renee lives life on the edge because like he doesn't even have
a case.
It's
the way nature and Johnny Ive intended.
It's gorgeous, but I've already dropped my phone and scuffed it. I don't know. It would be way broken by now because I have tile all over the place and it survived. So this leather case is also amazing.
Yeah.
And I love the phone. I think it's an amazing phone. Renee, you always, you talking about how you don't get every single Apple product on the show.
I didn't buy a Mac Pro and it's true.
He said on the show, I don't get every single Apple product. And I almost like, luckily I wasn't having, you see, do you see the face that if you're not watching the show, you should. Cause Viper's like,
oh, Viper's half the show. You gotta watch it.
You have to see the show. Cause he's like, he has the sniff test. If it doesn't pass the sniff test, he's going to turn the head sideways. He's like, careful. Fair. You don't buy every single thing, but.
Yeah,
Probably has two. Don't make me grab stuff.
I'm gonna get review units.
Don't make me show. This everywhere.
She will put you
everywhere.
This is why I do podcasts solo, so I can leave feeling good about myself. No, so what I was gonna say is that I was so attracted to the iPhone mini this year because it really is like a phone, but these cameras won me over. So I went Max, and I haven't gone Max in a few years. I had the regular size. I had the iPhone 10, not the 8 Max. And then I had the iPhone 10S, not the 10S Max. I had the 11, not 11 Pro, not the 11 Pro Max, but they got me where it hurts, Viper. They got me with cameras. Ooh. Can't resist a camera.
Yeah.
And I always like the bigger real estate. I have tiny hands, but I like the bigger real estate.
So funny you talk about the mini, Renee, because a lot of the tech reviewers are in love with the mini. But when they release the sales number, the mini is just not even on the list most of the time.
Yeah, I think there's two things going on there. One is that Apple split the market this time. When they went with the SE, it was both the less expensive and the smaller iPhone, where this year the iPhone SE 2 is the less expensive and the mini is the smaller. And so you have two separate groups of buyers now, not a unified group. So that means there's less sales overall. but also the Mini seems to, yes, every graphic designer I know has one. Like every human interface designer I know has one. It's like the perfect phone for everyone who pushes pixels around. But also I think that's one of the phones that we'll have to look over time. It's like what some Apple products are designed to be like big blockbuster movies where they spike huge, like the iPhone Max, and then they slowly go down until the next one comes out. But others are more like TV shows where they go up for like 13 to 25 weeks and then go back down. So it could be that the Mini is just the wrong product, or it could be that it's a product that people will buy as their contracts run out throughout the year.
And it's cute. It does fit in pockets.
It does.
Does
even change pockets.
But it's also, what do you use your phone for? Like if you're game, like I spend a lot of time on my phone and I like to read. If I'm at home, I'm probably going to be grabbing my laptop and I'll be reading or working on that. But a lot of the time I'm working on my phone just because it's what is next to me. And I want that real estate versus if you want something that's very, very portable and you're usually having your laptop or your iPad with you, I could see that smaller would be better.
Yep.
So
what do you have, Viper?
I have the 12 Pro Max.
Where's the 12 Pro Max club today?
It is. Look at that.
Definitely. I always have the biggest thing. Like Renee said, the cameras are the best on the Pro Max this year. I usually get the Pro Max anyway, but I mean, when it has the best cameras out of all of my, that's what I got to roll with. So I got an interesting question for you, Georgia. I was just in the clubhouse room before this podcast went live, and we were talking about foldable iPhones. I am of the mindset that I don't really care about a foldable iPhone because if I want to use the phone, I have my iPhone. If I want a bigger screen, I have an iPad Pro right here to my left. So I'm not really, I mean, I know foldables are amazing and I have a foldable Samsung device, which I love dearly. But when it comes to foldable iPhones, I'm not on that train. I mean, it's not something that I need. So Georgia, I'm curious to get your thoughts on the possibility of a foldable iPhone because there's been a lot of buzz about it lately. So is that something that you are looking forward to or you have any interest in, or how do you feel about foldable iPhones?
I'm not that excited about it. I don't like, one is because we've seen so many failures in foldable devices and I just don't think the technology is there for it to be reliable, for it to work. I want something that in the end works and is reliable. My phone is my connection to the world. I want it to work. I don't want to have a bend. I don't want a screen that breaks. Like the thought of me being able to slap it on like those slap-on wrist bracelets where I can wear my foldable slap iPhone. On. Now I'm a little bit excited because I have a wrist bracelet that's also my phone and I can like use it like the watch. That's exciting. But until I
what
get...
What about Kirk to Enterprise?
Well, okay.
Kirk to Enterprise.
Don't even do, because the first time I got my flip phone was during X-Files and I had the Samsung flip phone and all I would do would flip it up and go FBI. Like I loved it because the X-Files was where I saw people using their flip phones and I would do that and it didn't die.
Were like, you more Mulder or Scully?
In that case, I was actually Mulder. Like I'm probably more Mulder, I think. I'm not.
Oh, Zach wants to know if a folding phone is a sandwich. Oh, yeah. Actually, I want to know if a hot dog was a sandwich, but I'm substituting folding phone for a sandwich.
Oh, that's a huge debate, the hot dog one, too.
Thank you, Zach.
Oh, yeah. Don't even, because that's going to get started. And then Renee's going to jump in. Viper's going to jump in. And we're going to have a fight about sandwiches. And then everyone's going to leave. And then Mr. Beast would be disappointed with us.
And Nicholas wants to know, is his name Grogu or Baby Yoda?
Oh, we're not talking about.
Oh, it is 100% Baby Yoda.
Yeah!
What did they do with his name? I don't know anyone that went, when they said Grogu, they didn't go like the dog that like tilts their head and goes, what did you just say? That's not cute. That is not cute. That's a horrible, it's a hateful name. Someone hated Baby Yoda when they named it.
What I feel like is that if you went to Twitter or you went to Clubhouse, you would see Grogu at Baby_Yoda.
Listen, I'm sorry. I don't know what they did, but I actually wish that they could redo that because my love for Baby Yoda went down when they named it. I'm like, no. They have to redo something. They have to call him by
name. I know that Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau are listening to this right now. They're lurking in the stream. Don't take it hard. You don't name like Lucas does.
I'll just say it. Take it hard. You made a mistake. Go back and fix it. Because the whole internet is angry at you.
Yes.
So let's redo this, baby. I'll be fine if that was a dream. I don't even care.
Yeah, Nicholas is having a moment. He might need therapy.
Oh, we actually have Grogu is the freaking way.
No, it's not the freaking
way. The wrong way. It's the wrong way. Thought that was cute? I don't know. Maybe they tried to make him tough. You can't make Baby Yoda tough. And I don't want him to have any powers. When he comes back, I want him to be as cute. I don't want him to be superpower Grogu. I want him to be cute.
He's gonna come baby back Yoda. as teenage Yoda, like Groot no did in a sequel.
Let's just say it. You Galaxy. Have like a almost teenage Groot, and no one likes that. Like no one liked teenage Groot.
You like the dancing baby Groot.
Baby Groot that so foldable phones.
I call him Baby Yoda just because that's what I always called him. And I'm like, if you change something on me, like it's gonna be hard for me to adapt.
It's like they lost a bet. Like they lost a bet, and that's why they named him Grogu. No, they lost a bet.
It's like Apple changes the names of things, and I never go with the new name. It's like OS 10 becomes Mac OS. I still call it OS 10 out of instinct.
Yep.
If it's a better name, I'll call it by a better name. But what is that? Yes, and I thought anymore. foldable phones.
Our sandwiches. She said.
They're I not yet, not for a while, and I don't see, like, eventually we're going to have one thing to rule them all. And when it fits on my wrist like a bracer and I can be like Wonder Woman and answer the phone on it and I could flip it back up, I'm all in. Until that happens, either way, not yet.
So Renee, I know you made videos about the iPhone foldable. What are your thoughts on Ash? Do you want one, Renee? Are you interested in a foldable iPhone, or how do you feel about it exactly?
Yeah, I think Apple is just, as the market saturates, they're going to have to do more and more segmentation. That's why car companies have even like niche cars, like, convertibles, like the top comes down. Not everybody wants that. You know, not everybody even cares about that. But for people who do want it, and it's usually an affluent premium end of the market, which is why they cost like $2,000. Having those products just helps you increase the amount of people who will buy from you. But I think like the way Apple tends to look at these things is their stage of growth. And we talked about this, like they've been making foldable iPhones since the iPhone 4, and they made like bigger iPhones since the iPhone 4, but they only shipped them with the iPhone 6 because at that point they thought the screen technology was good enough. And they only went OLED with the iPhone 10 because they thought the OLED before that was crap. And they think right now, I think as of last year, they thought the foldables were like still in kindergarten. And I think this year is like they're still in primary school or like high school. But they have certain characteristics that they think they want to have in that device. And until the technology is ready, Apple's like a really patient, sometimes frustratingly patient company. So they'll wait. And my thing is, I don't mind them. I think there are conveniences to having like a pocket watch that'll become a phone if I need it to, or a phone that'll become a tablet on the go if I need it to. But for me, it's going to depend how well Apple executes. If it's not good, I'll be like, oh, well, we'll see how much it sells. I don't think it will. We'll see. But if it's really good and it solves real problems, then I'll buy it and have fun with it.
Mm. Yeah, that's the one thing. Like I said, I don't really have much interest in an iPhone foldable right now, but we both know what Apple, if they make, that's not even with, when they make their foldable product, it is going to be amazing, because Apple is very good at being the last kid on the block, but having the best implementation of whatever product category they're entering in. So,
well, the software will
hardware.
Work.
For hardware.
Well, no, but the software will work because they already have... Yeah. They already have their software stack going from the watch to the phone to the iPad. And so the ability for apps to change size as you change screens is there, where Google's having to go and work with Samsung and Motorola on an app-by-app basis. So basically, I think the minute this comes out, every app but Instagram will work.
Yes. I actually was making that point when I was in the clubhouse room earlier. Apple is actually more ready than anybody to have a foldable device because of Project Catalyst and them having macOS app work on iOS, iOS apps and iPadOS app work on macOS and this, that, and the other. So Apple has
with the UI, like those widgets. All the widgets work across every platform.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, Apple has the actual software infrastructure in place to support a foldable device more than anybody else that's out there right now, including Samsung. But we're just waiting for the actual device to come, the hardware to come out. So Leon is asking,
what problem does a flip iPhone solve? And it's the same problem that humans have been solving for millions of years, because foldables are a key part of human technology. We had slabs like the Old Testament, and we learned to fold them into books. And we had like these long, like
we money, had these things called
we fold them into books. Yeah.
And they open too.
Yeah. They fold, and wallets fold. And we made sandwiches, like tacos fold, because what you're doing is you're saying like, I have this big thing that I wish I could fit into small space for convenience.
It gives right? Like you're able to, it gives you the portability, and then it gives you the real estate. If you're going to, like, I'll just say it, like, I don't like pinch to zoom is wonderful, but I don't like having to pinch to zoom things to be able to read it. And then it doesn't all fit into the screen, but I can't read it. So I'm scrolling through it. And so you would end up being able to have that real estate, but also having it be portable.
Or your pockets, a smaller bag, all those sorts of things.
Exactly. And it just makes it much easier to be able to carry something around, and you wouldn't need, there's less chance that you would need to have a tablet and your phone or a computer and your phone. So I think that it would be useful. I just don't think that the technology is there to make it reliable enough for Apple to come out with it. And let's just say it, Apple's going to wait until it's really reliable and then they'll do it better. That's what they do.
But it'll be limited in one or two specific ways that will drive us crazy because it'll be for no good reason.
Because it's Apple. Because Apple,
And they'll wait. Yeah. They'll wait forever to give you copy and paste.
Yeah.
It'll work great when they have it, but you're not copy and pasting anything until they're ready to give you copy and paste.
So, Georgia, I have to ask you, because I haven't really had a chance to talk to you about this, but what do you think of Apple removing the charger from the box on the iPhone this year? Or last year? Like, God.
Haven't heard any of my rants yet, eh?
Oh, Lord. Oh,
I am like foot stomping angry. I think it is absolutely egregious of Apple. Like, really, I don't think that anyone, like, go ahead, chat room, you tell me, does anyone believe that they're really doing this to save the environment?
Woo, she's asking the hard questions, y'all.
Is it worse than Grogu?
It is. I'll say it. It is. You know why it's worse than Grogu? Because it's not that every other cute little creature is going to be given a horrible name because Grogu was called Grogu, right? Yet now Samsung isn't putting the wall charger on in their boxes either. So they're setting a whole precedent. So now
it's not
all
like they went back and gave Baby Groot a horrible name.
Right. They can't. But the next version of Baby Groot is not going to be called Gracco, you know? Like, they're not going to do that yet, which would still be a better name. Sorry, I apologize to those that love the name. There are a whole bunch of people that actually do love the name. I'm shocked. There are. But the wall charger, like, now people, they didn't, if they really cared about the environment and they weren't trying to upcharge you, they would put a little tag in the box saying, here, you can go up to an Apple store or order your free wall charger for you. You would get your little power plug. It'll be free if you need one. And it comes in a box that is a huge amount of waste with a little plastic wrapper that goes around it so you don't scratch the wall charger. Who the hell? Who cares? Who cares? Like, how many people really care if they've scratched their wall charger?
Here's the part that here's the part that annoys me, because, like Zach is saying, there's a couple of comments, Zach and a couple people about courage and money. And the thing is, it is such a small amount of money for Apple. They always do these things. They, like, there's an old saying, like, was it penny-wise, pound foolish? Or, like, they worry about the small things, but they don't care about the big things. They will spend billions of dollars getting, like, the perfect chamfered edge on the iPhone and then not include an AC adapter. The AC adapter costs them like a dollar. Even across a million iPhones, it's like $1 million. That's nothing, a lot of money for us. It is not significant money for Apple. That's what makes it egregious to me, is it doesn't even save them that much money. Even if you add in shipping, if you add in box size, compared to the Luna, compared to like what they're paying Qualcomm for that silly 5G modem that 3% of people can use, it is no money.
Whoa! Shot fired! Oh my God! Renee is firing shots. I love it. Now, before we go any further, let's be clear: we're not saying that Apple doesn't care about the environment. I think all three of us can admit that Apple does care about the environment. But in this particular situation, their reason and logic for removing a brick out of the box, a little something. I'm just saying.
It's not the environment. I'll just say it. I don't believe it's the environment. I don't buy it. There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. I think like you said this well, Viper, a while ago, and I think Zach said it well too. It's just that experience. Like, we've expected that experience. And I think you said it best when you said it's like Christmas morning. You get your new iPhone.
Yeah.
No stores are open. You open it up and you can't charge it.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Like, that's not the experience we expect from Apple.
And when they said that everyone already, like, there's this many chargers, like, I remember, like, out of everyone that I know, like, no one has more phones. Like, you have a tower of phones because he reviews them. He has a tower of phones.
Right.
And Renee only had two chargers with this port. Two. That's
I had
it.
Two.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody took one of them.
We don't talk about that. Stuff that happens in Clubhouse stays in Clubhouse. So then you end up having to buy it anyway. So if Renee doesn't have it, and you don't, and like, the thought, and Zach was saying that, like, it's anti-consumer, of not being able to charge the device. You can't actually use the device that you have just purchased, and it's a pandemic. It is not just you can go out easily and get it.
Yep.
And I'll answer, like, the added egregiousness, like, Samsung and Xiaomi and Apple can all make this case for, like, there's no AC adapter in the box, whatever. There's no AC adapter in the MagSafe or the MagSafe Duo box.
How is that? How, Renee? How did they even do that? My God.
I can't even charge with the charger once I buy the charger to charge with. It is chargerless.
Listen, Apple, we love y'all, but some of your choices are questionable. I'm just saying, they're questionable.
So one tech mind is saying they should have replaced it with a GAN charger. GAN chargers are a mixed blessing. Like, they have some good attributes, they have some bad attributes. And shipping GAN chargers at Apple scale is like one of the things I think people forget sometimes is that you can ship 100 of something. It is much harder to ship a million of something. So if you can choose to buy a GAN charger from Anker right now, and Anker can make enough certainly
for
the market.
Sorry, what is a GAN? I'm sorry.
It allows you to make much smaller chargers for the same. So basically, the GAN charger can be much smaller.
Fair.
You're doing almost everything as a trade-off. It's the same thing. Like, fast charging sounds great, but it degrades battery health faster. So you're adding convenience now at the expense of longevity over time. But none of these things are like ideal because the world hates us. So everything is a trade-off.
And Apple, it's a premium product. Like, you would expect that when you buy a phone that you should be able to charge it without having to search around for chargers and for cords. And the cord is so, like, they talked about having a beautiful, long, super long braided cord that will be there. No. Nothing. No. Like, it's very hurtful to be able to, like, it just seems like being nickel and dimed. And it's not that I think that Apple cannot afford to, or that they're choosing to do that on purpose for that reason. But it's really upsetting to me. And I think that it was really short-sighted of Apple to do that and to give such a, you know, sad reason for why they were doing that when it harms us. Like, you could just say, I don't, like, just again, just a little tick off and your charger is going to be showing up. You could have ordered your phone and it says, do you need a charger?
Yep.
That's it. That's all they had to do. And then they could have done both and everyone would be happy and this would be a non-issue. And a whole bunch of people would not have known that their charger that they have right now is not going to work. And they'd still be angry. So let's say it. People would be angry, but at least they would have the option to go back.
Yep.
Yep.
I could have said it better myself. Georgia, you're amazing. You nailed it.
I have nothing to add to this.
Renee has nothing. You know you did good.
Yep.
So Renee, before we get out of here, we're in a new year, 2021. What are you looking for? Or what are you looking forward to most as far as tech goes this year?
I mean, I want to say I love all the tech equally because I think there's going to be a lot of stuff that maybe we haven't even anticipated
yet. But that would be a lie.
Well, no, I always leave it open because, like, there's probably some products coming out that we don't know about that'll be really exciting.
Okay.
But of the stuff that we know about.
Choose one of your children, Renee.
She's being dragged back and forth on this podcast. It's like she's holding me by the hair and drag. Yeah,
she ain't giving it to
you. Of the things that we know is coming out, I'm looking most forward to, purely selfishly, the M1X, whatever we call the next generation 16-inch MacBook Pro, because the current one is my main device. I didn't switch to an M1 Mac yet because they haven't made the M1 Mac yet that I need. And I didn't want to get one just because it's new and shiny. Like, well, I do, but it would be a compromise. And once they get Apple Silicon into, we're sitting in front of a 16-inch MacBook Pro right now. Once they get that in there, I just want to see what that processor can do in a machine this big, especially if they add, like, even more performance cores, even more graphics cores to it. The minute that machine is announced, I'm not even going to make a video on it. I'm going to make sure I order it before it moves out to, like, a 9-month wait period.
Smart man.
And then I'm going to go make a video about it.
Smart man.
It's fair.
Georgia, I know you're not, like, that deep into the tech space, but is there anything that you're looking forward to this year as far as tech goes?
AirTags.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I want AirTags. Been waiting. Hello. Send me some AirTags already. I want them. The worst part is that they're not even, like, Apple has not even, like, we see it in the code, but there's no proof that there's really going to ever be AirTags. So I might just be, this could be 3 years later and I'll still be
be a giant John Prosser troll. Apple's like, we're going to make up a mysterious product. We're going to make sure that it leaks the entire internet. We'll go crazy about it, and we will never release it.
Just to mess with her.
I don't think that's the case. Samsung has already released their version of the AirTag, so Apple definitely has something in the work there. I think we'll see it later this year. Georgia, the reason why I don't think we've seen it yet because we're in a pandemic and there's no market for them right now. We're everybody being at home, so I think Apple is just waiting for a better time to release them, but they're coming.
I would buy one right away just for my Apple TV remote because I lose that thing all the time.
I would glue it on everything. The dog, myself. It would be everywhere.
So I got one last question for Georgia here, and this should be a good one for her. Georgia, with you being a psychotherapist, I'm curious, is there like some type of technology that you would like to see implemented in your field that will make your work easier?
So I would love to have the watch be able to do journaling and to be able to put all of the data into with a journal factor where you could write notes to everything that's happening with you. And I think that that would be a really great benefit, where it could just be a voice note so you don't have to write. It doesn't have to be fast. I think a lot of people don't like journaling because of how arduous it is. And you see it and you have to get paper and you have to get a pen or you have to get your phone and you might be out for a walk when it happens. But if it could be just a really quick voice recording and then all of your health data would be on that and journaled to you and it could be sent to your doctor, or to your therapist, or to yourself, that would be a huge benefit. And I think more people would journal and they would not feel as tedious. And I would do it as well. And I don't love journaling myself. I'll do it, but I don't love it. And that's why.
Yeah.
So a fast, easy way to be able to get all the data, all the barometrics into one simple place.
That's a hell of an answer. Wow.
She brings a fire.
I was prepped.
She brings a fire.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does. But Renee Ritchie, Georgia Dow, this has been an amazing podcast. I mean, damn, this has been great. I appreciate both of you all taking the time. So thank you sincerely.
Oh, thank you for hosting it, man. You're the best. I really appreciate it.
It's so true. I love your energy. I love it.
I love your energy too, Georgia. So thank you. Thank you. Shout out to those of y'all who are listening on audio only this week. Thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Drop with me, Renee Ritchie, and Georgia Dow. If you want to go check out their content on YouTube, all of their channel link will be in the show notes. So definitely check them out. They are good people, fun, exciting, legit. Definitely go check them out. They are worth your time. If you would like to support the podcast, there should be a Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes. It is not required, but anything that you are willing to contribute, as always, greatly, greatly appreciate it. If you happen to be listening on an Apple device, which most of you are, could you please, 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 leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, as that helps more people discover the show, helps us get back into the top 200 of tech podcasts, all that good stuff. So if you are listening on an Apple device on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving that rating or review. And thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Drive. But until the next time, people, this your boy Viper, the man about tech. You know where to find me. So come back for more. We'll be right back.